When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slammed it home. Garland left wing, three ball. Perfect. Garland went to the lane, lobbed to Mobley. Pow! And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow! With the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rohn. Support for this podcast is brought to you by FuboTV. Watch over 100 channels of live sports and TV for half the cost of cable. There's no contract and no commitments. Try for free at FuboTV.com. The Cleveland Cavaliers are coming off back-to-back wins over the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks. Carter Rodriguez, my co-host, we are going up the quad into the gymnasium. We are streaking. How you feeling, buddy?
God, man, what a fun couple games that, you know, felt like, you know, Boston. I was, you had the luxury of watching the Boston game, knowing that we were going to win it, you know, all the stress. And, you know, I kind of was like, oh, it's going to be a letdown game against New York, and that's fine. And then they put on the clamps, Justin, the clamps in the fourth quarter, only allow 15 points, a verifiable deluge of three pointers to sink the New York Knicks. My God, man, are they fun? Even on a night where, like, JP was clearly still kind of grumpy during his post game availability because of how the first three quarters went, it didn't matter. They just absolutely sunk them.
Yeah, it's amazing the resilience that this team has shown over this five game winning streak, because obviously they are without Darius Garland, and they've been lifted by the amazing play of Donovan Mitchell. Was absolutely spectacular tonight with 38 points, 12 assists, two blocks, and a steal. I think a lot of people are going to frame this as, oh, you know, like a revenge game against the Knicks, blah, blah, blah. But he just put up 41 on Boston. Was there revenge on them? This is what he's been doing this season. He is playing at a legitimate MVP level right now. He has deserved those MVP champs to this chance to this point. And, you know, it's really, really encouraging when you look at this game. This is a night where Caris LeVert didn't shoot well at all. He got some assists, and I thought he played really good defense on Jalen Brunson in the first half, but didn't have his jumper. Jetty Osman, who has been a reliable contributor for them on the offensive end, had a cold shooting night. Didn't matter, because you had Dean Wade, Kevin Love, and other guys step up. And it's just another really impressive team win in a start of the season where you look across the NBA and a lot of teams that have more continuity than the Cavs are having trouble kind of finding their groove and their footing to start the year.
Yeah, man. Well, I think it's really cool. You know, you mentioned that Caris, you know, has a rough shooting. Well, a bad one. He didn't make a single field goal. Coming off a 41 pointer. So, you know, Caris giveth, Caris taketh away. But with that said, I thought it was so cool, Justin, that the team could close with Isaac Okoro, who has been marooned on the bench, with Dean Wade, who has often not been closing games because Jetty has been closing games, with Kevin Love over Jared Allen. And, you know, like, and the lineup's no worse for the wear. You know, it's so cool. Like, they have so many options. JB can pull so many levers. I mean, you watch just schematically, this Knicks team is a nightmare matchup against Kevin Love. Like, they have nothing for Kevin, because that Donnie Kevin two-man game. Okay, so you try to trap the ball handler. Kevin just slips and hits an open three. You try to hedge. You can't get back in time. Or Donovan just turns the corner. Kevin hits the three. You switch it. You have Julius Randle guarding Donovan Mitchell. Like, layup line. Like, they were able to get so many good looks with the personnel they have. You know, I feel like this game, I was texting a buddy of mine, Ben, who's a big Knicks fan, and he said it felt like the Cavs played the first three quarters and then plugged the controller in the fourth quarter and decided just to end it. You know, I feel like they so very much leveraged their talent advantage over the course of this game.
Yeah, and I agree with that, like I think the Cavs have shown over this stretch that they have another gear in the fourth quarter. I don't want to frame it, though, like they were kind of plain sloppy or half-ass for the first three quarters, because I thought the Knicks actually played a really good game. Like, the Cavs came out looking sharp to start this game. Mitchell was on point right off the bat. And the Knicks play a style of defense that I think we've seen give the Cavs troubles at times this season, where they play really aggressive on the perimeter. They have length. RJ Barrett, Jalen Brunson, all these guys play really well on the defensive end. And I thought they did a good job forcing the Cavs to get into their sets late in the shot clock. There were a lot of times where the ball did not cross the three-point arc until there was only about 8 seconds left in the shot clock, and we would have to kind of force up a shot in those situations. The offense would stagnate as a result of what the Knicks were doing, and the Knicks were turning all of those opportunities into fast breaks. They were pushing the pace. You could hear Thibs mic'd up the whole game screaming to push, push, push. And I thought they had a really, really good game plan, and they played a really high-level game for the most part. But the Cavs in the fourth quarter especially, like, you look at Dean Wade, the job he did, well-deserved junkyard dog chain. I thought it might go to Kevin, but I love the inclusion of Wade. He had the second-best plus-minus for the Cavs on the night. And the guy with the best plus-minus for the Cavs on the night at plus 24 was Isaac Okoro, who you look on the offensive end, and there were times where you could tell he was thinking. He had an extra pass to Kevin in the corner that I thought he could have taken that initial three, still showing some hesitancy there. But he played one of the best defensive games of the year. I think his best game of the season, where he took Jalen Brunson out of the game and really made a valuable contribution on the defensive end. And that was
Brunson went 1 of 4 in the fourth quarter. Only got 1 3-point attempt up, 1 assist. Yeah. I mean, just completely a non-factor. I mean, in fairness, not a single Nick was a factor in the fourth quarter. I just thought they put on the clamps so hard. And, you know, I was digging some numbers after this game, and like, it's just crazy to me how much better this team gets after they have a half of seeing a team. Yeah. You know, some of it you can credit to JB lighting them up at halftime, which he did against Orlando by all reports. But, you know, you look at tonight, in the second half, they held Boston to 102 offensive rating in the fourth quarter, a 62. Mm-hmm. Against Boston in the second half, an 84 defensive rating. In the fourth quarter, a 71. Yeah, against Orlando in the second half, an 87. And in the fourth quarter, 88. So they are a team that, you know, it's funny. I was doing a little reverse jinx action against Boston. I didn't want to tell anyone, but I said, I don't know if we got the stops tonight. You know, just hoping to see if maybe we could. And, you know, what's been interesting about this team is they got the stops every night when it's mattered. You know, they have really, really been, and it's not that they've been a bad first half team. They're plus 8.1 per 100 possessions in the first half. But it's a much more offensive game. They're putting up 121 offensive rating and allowing 113. The second half, that's dropping down to 99.6. And then, of course, in the in overtime so far, they're a cool 91.6 net rating far in those 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the fourth quarter has been their quarter. We saw the first game of the season. The Cavs ran out of gas. Toronto out-executed them. And they kind of showed their experience, right? The experience they had through continuity, what they're able to do on the defensive end. Since then, you look at this five-game winning streak, and the Cavs have a plus 38.6 net rating in fourth quarters of wins. And that is a league best mark. Toronto's right behind them as the second best net rating in fourth quarters of wins. But the Cavs have been a two-way force in those quarters. 82.9 defensive rating, 121.6 on the offensive end. Like, they are getting it done on both ends of the court in the fourth quarter. And I think it really goes to show the level of preparation this team has, that they are able to make adjustments because they've gone through scenarios in practice and throughout training camp. They had that extra session of training camp working together and trying to eliminate some of the learning curve. And I mean, those growing pains are still there. Like, there are times where you can tell guys don't necessarily know the hierarchy yet. They'll clamp up a little bit. They'll make mistakes. They're still getting comfortable with one another. But when you have a leader on the court like Donovan Mitchell, when you have the backline defense of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, when you have guys coming in off the bench like Dean Wade, Robin Lopez, Jetty, Raul Neto, that are all able to come in and contribute, that helps kind of turn those growing pains and those learning opportunities. They're not as costly because they're able to turn those games into wins. And I could not be more impressed at this 5-1 start. It's really, really impressive. And to me, I think a lot of the credit has to go to JB Bickerstaff at this point.
Yeah, I mean, JB is playing, or is playing, is just been coaching out of his mind. I really do think this team, he has this team's ear. Yeah. You know, you hear them cite his influence all the time, you know, out kind of unnecessarily. You know, it's not like they, you know, what did Coach do? No, it's like they'll kind of go out of their way to talk about kind of the way he challenges the team, the way he, you know, holds them to a certain standard, the way he works with guys. And you know, I ever since Kevin kind of came off the bench with grace and, you know, kind of talked to, and you hear about how it's the way that JB as a communicator kind of helps set those expectations, you just kind of get the impression that he is just the kind of guy that really understands what people care, you know, how to talk to people, how to challenge them, how to engage with them. Not, you know, I think so many times players, when you hear players coach, you almost think like a good hang, like a sycophant, you know, yeah. Like, hey, you guys are awesome, you know. But like, to me, like, you know, I think JB is a true players coach insofar as like he kind of knows the measure of each of these dudes. And that really, really matters.
It really matters. And I think when you look at how prepared guys are to come in off the bench when they're out of the rotation, like Isaac Okoro, the fact that you have the confidence in Isaac Okoro to come in for Caris LeVert, who has been really good for the Cavs this season, that you can have Dean Wade, that you can have Jared Allen coming in or sitting for the end of the game because, hey, we're going to go to Evan Mobley and Kevin Love here. We're obviously going to go back to you at another opportunity, but just, you know, closing with whoever the hot hand is and having the confidence that, hey, the trust is there in the locker room. Everyone's willing to make the sacrifices for these wins. I think that is something that only can be developed by going through it in practice and having those open forms of communication where everyone knows what the expectations are. Everyone knows to stay ready because you never know when you're going to be called upon. You never know when someone's going to have an off shooting night. And you look at Caris LeVert, and I think in some ways it was kind of predictable that he'd have a little bit of trouble against this defense because they're just so physical and aggressive, and his handle can get a little loose against these teams. And I think you saw that the Knicks perimeter defense was even more effective as they went deeper into the rotation. And, you know, you kind of had some of the reserves in there, and the Knicks were really able to put the pressure on. But I just thought it was so impressive that the guys that were called upon, you know, Okoro and Dean Wade and Kevin Love, that they're ready. And that the starters all come out with grace. And I would expect those guys to be ready for the next game because that's kind of the culture that they've set this early in the season.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, but the whole thing doesn't work without the linchpin, right? You know, yes. like yeah, it's all well and good to swap out, you know, your peripheral players, your second, third, fourth, fifth men. When you know every freaking night you're going to get a damn near 40 burger, oh, Justin. Can we talk about Donnie and just how freaking good he is? Because, you know, when we had Tony Jones on, and I really recommend if you're going through a bit of a pod drought and you're waiting on the next Chase Down episode and you didn't listen to Tony Jones come on the pod right after the trade and talk about what kind of player Donovan was, he laid it all out there for us. Like, he talked about what an elite player this guy was, but what, you know, really latched in my brain about what Tony said to us was Donovan was very unhappy with how he played last year.
Yeah.
He thought he had a bad season, you know, for what he expects of himself. And I'll tell you what, this guy's playing like a guy who spent all summer pissed off at himself, and pushing himself harder and harder.
Yeah. No, it absolutely looks like that. I mean, he appears to be in fantastic shape. I know he always looks like he's in great shape, but this seems like another level. The explosive dunks he has, I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to it. Like, there was one time where it looked like he was going up for a dunk and he ended up drawing a foul instead, but he hung in the air for like 3 seconds and changed his mind of what he was going to do. The spin move was incredible. The 3-point shooting, like
the catch and shoot, man. The first play in overtime against Boston, mm-hmm. where he starts on the right wing, runs through two screens at least a half sprint, squares up and hits a three after having already played over 40 minutes. Like the conditioning, the footwork, you know, making sure that you're, you know, he constantly gives himself a shot to make the attempts he's taking. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's freak athleticism, but man, is it also conditioning. Man, is it also craft.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the 3-point shooting is remarkable. Like the fact that the Cavs got up 53 pointers tonight, that's the second most in a regular season game in franchise history. The record was set against the Zombie Raptors in that weird game after Christmas Day where I think they only had one rotation player and everyone else was replacement guys. So let's call this the most ever set against a real NBA team. Like and they did it without Darius Garland. And I think the fact that Donovan Mitchell is able to go out there and put that much pressure as a shooter, that makes your pick and roll that much more deadly. And I think it helps him because in that podcast with Tony Jones, he was talking about how the Jazz would even stagger Mitchell and Gobert because that was kind of the two linchpins of their team. But that takes away the ability to go out there with the pick and roll. And when you have Jared Allen, who's a great screen setter, Robin Lopez, that's a great screen setter, Kevin Love's a threat as a pick and pop guy, you have multiple playmakers, like it really feels like Donovan Mitchell's offensive game has been unlocked in a lot of ways where he can get himself free, and it's not the same equal opportunity to the same extent that Utah had, where, you know, you have Bogdanovich, you have Ingles, you got Conley and all these guys, and you, it's kind of like beautiful game stuff that Warriors fans even get upset about, where it's like, hey, you know, like, let's just spam some Steph pick and roll. Like, let's spam these easy possessions because we can do the beautiful game stuff, but at the same time, take advantage of what your strengths are. And that seems to be something that JB Bickerstaff is really good at doing, is let's amplify what these guys do well. And it really does feel like another level of his game has been unlocked. And I'm really curious to see how this ends up looking once Darius Garland is back in the mix, which seems to be coming closer. It seems like we're inching towards there. There's reports that he's able to open his eye now. That's good. He was having non-contact practice today without the goggles
in
on.
In the junkyard dog picture with Dean, he had his glasses off. So good sign.
There you go. We're looking for breadcrumbs at this point, Carter.
Yes, we are. One thing I'll say about Donnie before we move on that I was thinking about watching the game was, I think both of us were like, he might be our best player this year.
No, he is. Yeah.
If he's not, then we're winning the championship because this dude is unbelievable.
No, this is another level of Donovan Mitchell that I don't think we've seen. Like, it's the passing. I don't think the passing gets enough credit too, because he's been so explosive as a scorer. But like the 12 assists tonight against a good defensive team in the Knicks, like he was making beautiful reads to guys. And I'm just, obviously you don't want him to have to do this every single night. But the fact that he is able to do this, and that the fact that he's able to kind of be the tide that rises all boats here, like, it is incredible just how good he has been on the offensive end of the floor. And honestly, his defense has been really good too. Like I mentioned it, he's got two blocks and a steal tonight. He's really committed on that end of the court. And when we had that podcast with Tony Jones, like that was one of the things he talked about, which was, hey, he's got more support around him this year. Let's see if he's able to back up his word, because he was very honest about needing to improve on the defensive end, needing to improve his conditioning, improve and get back to that all-around game that he can bring to the table. And honestly, this was the gamble that the Cavs were making when they made the Donovan Mitchell trade. They were banking on the fact that they had enough depth to make a consolidation move and still have guys like LeVert, Dean, Jetty, maybe Windler at some point, and Okoro step up on the wing and fill in what they were losing. And they were also making a gamble that, hey, with more help around him, his efficiency can improve because he had only had one season with league average efficiency prior to this year, and that he could improve on the defensive end. And so far, all of those things seem to be coming to fruition, which I wouldn't have expected when you don't even have Darius Garland in the lineup. So the potential of what this roster can be is getting to the point where it's getting really exciting. Like, Carter, does this feel like to you what we went through at the start of last season, where we were optimistic based on kind of where the consensus was on the team, but there was enough little signs where we're like, hey, this might be a little bit better than we even expected. I'm getting those vibes about this season already.
Yeah, 100%. How could you not be getting those vibes right now? You know, they are playing. It's funny. I don't even think they're playing like
they can be better.
I think JB's been let's just say this. I think JB's been rightfully grumpy, you know, at least half of the games so far this year.
Yep.
So, you know, and you know, what's interesting is you talk about Donnie's defense. I don't think he played very good defense the first three quarters of this game. I think he was just okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he was a little less locked in.
It was a little more gambling than the locked in possession by possession. Yeah.
And what I think really is important is, you know, when you make a trade for a super duper star with a tenuous defensive reputation, you're kind of hoping and praying that you get 2016 Kyrie in the finals at minimum, you know, where it's like, hey, you might not be a great defender every night or every quarter, and that's fine. But when it matters, when we need you to, can you help us get stops? And like, I think what we're seeing is Donovan can help us get stops.
Yeah.
Now, it is interesting to think about the fact that, you know, the defensive rating has still been awesome, but, you know, they're playing huge again. You know, they're playing Dean at the three again. So, you know, maybe I do think the burden is lower on him in these lineups than it will be when he's, you know, sharing 24 minutes a game minimum on the floor with Darius. But also the offense should be so much better too, that it's hard to nitpick. So, you know, like,
especially
I do think we have more to learn on that front.
And especially when it looks like one of the bigger kind of holes in the defense right now is transition. And a lot of those transition opportunities come off of misses, right? So you kind of hope that having a better offense with Garland out there, and Garland will play good positional defense, but you just won't have the same luxury of, hey, we're going to throw Caris LeVert on a Jalen Brunson to start this game and hold them to 2 points in the first half, or go to Isaac Okoro in the fourth quarter and turn his water off. Like, you're not necessarily going to have the same option, although you would assume that JB is going to have the same strategy with Garland and Mitchell, where if one of them doesn't have it and he sees something with a different unit, he's going to ride those units, right? Because the accountability goes
through. JB's give an F meter is so low about that sort of thing. I just think he's just going to do whatever is right. Like, exactly. I that's one of the cool things about JB, I think, as a coach thus far, is like, I think he always will defend himself with, I made the call to play the guy who was playing better. You know, and like, I just don't think he cares that much. You know, I do think that's where a guy like Darius is going to be such an important leader, because he's been such a selfless player.
Yeah.
That, you know, you hope that we have our, you know, our Tim Duncan, our Steph Curry on this team, that, you know, you just got someone who, you know, holds himself to such a great standard that it empowers the coach and an organization just to do what's right all the time instead of catering to them. And I think the Cavs are firmly in that zone right now. Now, will they be, you know, in the long term? That, you know, we'll see. But like right now, I think JB is super empowered to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. And honestly, I think Mitchell getting to this level of comfort already with the Cavs, I think that's actually going to make it easier for Garland to come back, because, you know, Garland's just going to feed hot hands, right? Like, he is a guy that is always looking to set people up and get people in their spots, keep them comfortable, keep feeding them. And like, you look at what the Knicks did on the perimeter defensively, you're not going to be able to do that to the same extent when it's Garland and Mitchell out there. You're able to, as our buddy Nikias Duncan says, add a little more window dressing to what you're doing offensively and disguise it, right? Where, okay, we're giving it to Garland. It looks like Garland's about to initiate a pick and roll, and then he kicks it to Mitchell, and instead the action's actually coming on that side of the court, right? Like, you're able to disguise what you're doing when you have more offensive talent there. And that makes it harder for defenses like Toronto, like Orlando, or the Knicks that have that length and can get up into you. That makes it harder for them to deploy what they want to do defensively. So I think Mitchell being at this level of comfort is going to make a lot of things easier for him and make this transition easier, because I do expect when Garland comes back that there's going to be some miscommunications at times, right? Like, you get comfortable with one group of guys, and when you reintegrate a significant part of the team, as much as he makes guys better, and I think life is going to be easier for Mobley, Allen, and even Okoro in particular, there's still going to be, you know, those little growing pains. But we've seen over this winning streak that you can have those growing pains and still come away with the win. You can still dig deep and get it done when it matters most.
Yeah, I think their margin for error is just really good right now, which is awesome. You know, it's what you want to see as you're figuring out how to implement a new player, new rotation, and, you know, fight through a very, very competitive East. I mean, it is also worth noting, Justin, that the Cavs are now officially in the top five in offense and defense.
Woo!
In the league right now, something I don't think I would have dreamed of for this season. Obviously, who's to say that's going to maintain, but they've put some really good teams so far, some really good defenses so far. So, you know, I think that the dream for me, I think I forget what we talked about, what predictions we made, but I was hoping for like 15-5, you know. Like, defense stays great, but offense gets, you know, inches up towards a little past league average. And like,
and if me like as this, a homer being 4 on defense and I think 8 on offense was where I was hoping.
Naturally.
Yeah.
And I mean, they might land there. So, you know, I really think that if this team is going to be a team that's going to live in the top 5 of both all season, then we really need to start reevaluating kind of what kind of team this is, man. Cause, you know, I was talking to my brother who joined us at the Orlando game. And, you know, he's been kind of diving back in to basketball after a little hiatus. And he's like, why aren't we the first year Steve Kerr took over the Warriors? Like that team, no one thought that team won 67 games, you know, like, and obviously he's very, very high on them right now. And, you know, obviously everyone's feeling the good vibes, but like sometimes teams just go freaking nuts, you know? And like, this is a team that got appreciably better. And I just think in all of our preseason evaluation, we were still treating the Mitchell thing as, okay, we lose Lowry, but we add someone who's like 10% better than Colin. And that has just been,
we were low on that.
Yeah, we were just too low. And like, stars matter more in basketball than anything else. So I do think we need to probably start, you know, like as we hit like the first trimester of the season, the one quarter mark of the season, like if these numbers are really holding there, we should start getting a little more reckless. And God knows, I know you love to hear that.
I absolutely love to hear that, man. It feels so good to be back in a position where you have a player that feels inevitable, where any deficit, you know, you feel like you still have a puncher's chance to get back into it. Because the impressive thing over this stretch, it's not like the Cavs have just steamrolled these teams. They've been down. They've faced adversity in every single one of these games. Like, you get out to a hot start against Boston, and in Boston, they come back, they get a big lead, and you claw back and take that game from them. Like, that is something that veteran teams do. That's something that, like, contending teams do, that they can reach that other gear in the fourth quarter. And having a player like Donovan Mitchell that just feels inevitable, where he can go out and get those shots, like, that's something that we've obviously had in the past when we had LeBron. And Mitchell is playing at that superstar type level where, honestly, he feels as inevitable as a mid-pod ad read on the chase down. And support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
Well done, Justin. Can we talk about Kevin Love for a minute?
We need to talk about Kevin. I've been dying to talk about Kevin.
This man, it just absolutely cooked him. You know, he truly is at the, you know, elite role player phase of his career, where there are going to be some matchups that are just kind of sucky for him, you know, and they don't work. By the way, God, that pass from Evan on the catch to feed Evan to Kevin down low was God damn amazing. But you know, I think that, you know, Kevin's at the point now where he might not be great against everyone, but the teams he's great against, it's just a cheat code. Like, so, like, not that many players on the Cavs had a good offensive game tonight, you know? But like, when you have 16 threes between two dudes, it just doesn't matter. Like, he was, I mean, it was just so, so challenging. He was taking some really deep ones, really slipping, getting set, super smart. Just he had them in prison all night. Like, they had no chance against him.
Yeah, he was absolutely fantastic. And you're right. Like, it's at that point where if Kevin's got it going, you're going to ride that hot hand, because what the Cavs do well offensively, like, you look at last year when running the Garland, Allen, or Mobley pick and roll, like, that was tough to take away even without that spacing. And now that you have Caris LeVert, who has really stepped up his game as a playmaker and kind of found ways to contribute beyond the ups and downs of his individual shooting. Now that you have that dynamicism on the court, I think I just botched that word, but that's fine.
I was gonna leave it be.
Yeah. I you know, it's late. We don't usually do post game pods. But now that you have so many threats around, it's so hard to account for Kevin Love, because he does have that quick trigger. He's able to pull up from so far behind the 3-point line. And he just makes it so difficult. Like, the defense has to always account for him. And if you're late on that rotation, you know, like, you have to jump out because he's got the quick trigger, but he's going to do the escape dribble and get himself an open three in those situations. And it's just inevitable. Like, he's such a valuable contributor, and he's got that IQ. He's got that veteran presence. And the thing I really like about this is you can see the influence the vets have on some of the younger guys. Like, I'm seeing more and more Kevin Love in Dean Wade's game, even though I think Dean Wade is starting to make a transition to being more of a wing. Like,
how about the little dribble reset for Dean at the top of the arc that he hit? That was Kevin-esque.
That was the exact one I was thinking about. And it's fun that he's added that to his game while also adding more movement shooting and the types of stuff that allows him to play as a small forward and get that 3-point rate up. It's
nice. Can I tell you this? I'm glad we didn't attach multiple first-round picks to get off of Kevin Love's contract. I'm comfortable saying that. And by the way,
very controversial,
I always felt that way.
Yeah.
I was one of the only ones when things were as low as they got. I was like, this guy's still really good at basketball, guys.
Talk your talk, man.
don't attach picks. Don't play Twitter GM to try to dump a player who is good when our team is not that good yet. Like, we didn't have the luxury to just dump Kevin Love then, and we are certainly reaping the benefits that Kobe Altman played the long game today.
Yeah, 100%. But getting back to the point I was making, like, I love that little escape dribble scene with Dean Wade. I love seeing Jared Allen start to incorporate more of the hook shots. You can tell the Robin Lopez influence there. And I love that Donovan Mitchell is in guys' ears as they're walking back down the court.
So much.
He talks so much, and I can't help but feel having someone like that is going to benefit it's going to benefit Darius. It's going to benefit all of these guys. You got Ricky Rubio. You can all these guys, like, they're talking on the bench. They're talking as they're moving up and down the court. If there was a mistake, it's not a bunch of kind of eye rolling and throwing up their arms. Like, you can tell, like, Donovan's in Dean's ear being like, hey, I need you to be a little more here in the corner when I'm driving there. Like, the communication is at such a high level, and you're seeing Evan and Jarrett be more vocal, and it's infectious, and that is so important, because a lot of these guys, like, they're quieter, right? They're quieter by nature, but just the desire to go out and win, the desire to be better, the desire to be better than people even expect, all of that stuff comes together to kind of create this great culture where everyone's feeding off of one another, and everyone is adding. What was the well analogy? Wasn't that Kobe that had that, where we want guys to be a faucet?
Oh yeah, it was. Oh, I don't. Yeah, everyone be a faucet, not a drain.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it was something. It's something along those lines. Most of the time, we're prepared for the pod, but you know that one just came to mind as I was talking. But you know, like everyone is adding something to this team, and to me, that is so great to see as a fan, and it's one of those contributing factors that make you think, hey. This can continue. They can continue to exceed expectations. And I mean, there's going to be another test. You look at the start of the season, and I think the only team they played that doesn't have playoff aspirations is Orlando. Like all these teams, like the Knicks got better. Adding Brunson and Hardenstein to a team that won 36 games last year, like they are going to be better. That is not an easy out. And all these tests just seem to make the Cavs stronger and stronger as they go.
Yeah, man. This is, you know, they got another big one on Wednesday. Boston's coming to town.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Cavs will be fully rested. I really hope we see Darius back.
I have a feeling. This is reckless speculation. No sauces or nothing, but I feel like it's got to be right around the corner. If everything's trending that way, I remember we quoted the In Street Clothes tweet, lacerated eyelid. That it's usually 1 to 5 games. 5 was the most that had ever been missed. It's been 5 games now, Carter. We'll see if Darius is going to set a new record or if he's going to make his return against the Boston Celtics, because that would be a hell of a game for him to have his return to the lineup.
Absolutely. I just think, you know, this early stretch, winning games that, you know, are less than ideal, like tonight, or, you know, beating Boston on the road without Darius, like, these wins really, really matter, you know, and we saw the team, you know, have a big lead and kind of fumble the bag down the stretch, obviously due to, you know, insane injuries last year.
Yep.
But like, while Miami is scuttling, while Philly is struggling, while Chicago is struggling, while Toronto is on a little bit of a downswing, like,
yep.
Get yourself a pad, give yourself some room. In case you do get bit by the injury bug again, in case you do have a stretch where things just ain't clicking right. So like, you know, I really hope that they kind of keep attacking each matchup. Like obviously if they lose to Boston, you know, there's no shame in losing to Boston.
Yeah.
But like it would be so valuable before you go play the Pistons, before you go on a road trip and play a bunch of teams who are also struggling.
Yeah,
because they're going to Detroit, who, by the way, just took a big dub against the Warriors. So they're probably riding high. But then you go at the Lakers, at the Clippers, who are not playing particularly good basketball right now, at the Kings, who only have one win, and at the Warriors, who I believe are 3-3 on the year. So yeah. like these, there are big names that they're playing early in the season, but these teams are not all like clicking on all cylinders. So like, get your wins now, get yourself that pad, jump out to a 10-2 start or something like that, because that's just going to give you the kind of room to absorb, you know, when other teams start hitting back.
Yeah. And to clarify, because I completely agree with what you're saying. I think what you're saying is, well, we can't count any of these as wins because all of these teams are really talented and
all winnable.
And you look at Detroit, like knocking off the Warriors, and there's countless examples. Look what Utah's doing. Like there are no easy matchups, and you can't count any of these games as wins, but it's so important to really close out and recognize the opportunity you have, because when you give yourself this cushion, when you go out and you win 5 games without Darius Garland, that allows you to play it safer too, right? Like, hey, if somebody needs rest, we know we have the depth to make up for that. We don't have to rush guys back from injury. We can make sure that Ricky Rubio has time to practice with the team and get fully up to speed, get a bunch of practices in so that it's less of a, there's less rust once he gets into the lineup, because he's been prepped. He's been in all the film studies. He's had some practices. Like you can really take your time because you do have this depth and you've built up a cushion. So that's why it's so important to get these wins and to really continue to perform at a high level, because injuries are going to happen. You are going to go through droughts, right? Like Donovan Mitchell, Darius, every single player on this roster is going to have stretches where they just don't have it. They don't have the legs. They don't shoot well on any given night. and you never know when that's going to happen, and you never know when another team is just going to get insanely hot and make you pay. So getting that cushion early on, and especially winning these games against teams that are going to be in this race, like getting road wins against Chicago and Boston, like that is really, really important. But it's less important if you don't hold serve and win your home games against those teams too. So this is a real, real opportunity for the Cavs to put some space between them and Boston to basically guarantee that there's not going to be the head-to-head tiebreaker. Boston can't get that if the Cavs beat them on Wednesday. So there's a lot riding for an early season game, the seventh game of the year.
Yeah, and also I just hate Boston, Justin, and I can't help it. They just rile me up in a way I can't quite wrap my head around, and I never will be able to understand why. I mean, it was to the point where I was rooting for the Warriors in the finals last year. I don't know why.
I still got some gripes with you over that.
Listen, the heart wants what the heart wants. I think logically I thought I would be at best indifferent, but I think, you know, you can't shut your brain off. By the way, Evan Mobley.
Oh, I beg to differ. I shut my brain off on a daily basis.
What I'm saying is the unconscious mind seeps into the conscious mind. Real quick, I wanted to know, does it feel like Evan Mobley is averaging a full point per game more than he did last year? Because I didn't even realize it till today. He's really having a nice offensive season so far.
Yeah, you know, you can tell he's starting to have his legs back. He's back in game shape. Like, he's making a difference out there. And I think it's noteworthy in the Orlando and Boston game in particular. They went to him a fair bit in the fourth quarter when they needed a bucket. It's not like, hey, we're up 15. We can kind of experiment. Evan, go create. Against Orlando, it was, hey, we're dumping the ball into you at 18 feet. Go create for us. We need a bucket. And I think he had 7 points in the fourth quarter against Boston as well. Had an assist and kind of acted as that offensive hub. Like, he is making plays when it really matters. And the defense was back on point tonight against the Knicks. Like, had a block and a steal. He's had at least one block and steal in every game over this winning streak. He's out there. The field goal percentage is up. I think I kind of jinxed him on the free throws heading into those Orlando and Boston games, but he made all of his free throws against the Knicks. Evan Mobley has been really, really good, and you're starting to see all of those flashes that he's added to his game. He still needs to be stronger with the ball. I'd like to see the rebounding be a little more consistent. He can get bumped off his spots, but you can tell he's a more fluid offensive player than he was in the past.
Yeah, and I think if you have a gripe, it's the boards so far, and the fouling. It's been a little bit more than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I do think that we are seeing growth there, and it's just really exciting, man. How about this team? How about the vibes, man? We got 400 people hanging out with us live.
Holy smokes.
On YouTube, which is crazy. I think it might be a Chase Town record outside of Media Day. So, you know, thank you guys so much for listening in. This is awesome, and I think it's very representative of the vibes, Justin.
It absolutely is, and I think this is also just a good time to just thank everyone. We went on our trip to Cleveland in this last week, and it was just everyone that either came out to the meetups, that talked to us when we were out on the street and whatnot. It really means a lot. We would have got to it sooner, but I don't like to be self-indulgent at the top of the podcast. I like being self-indulgent later on, but honestly, it really, really meant a lot. Big shout out to the Cavs for making it all possible as well. Continue to love what we've been able to create.
They take good care of us. And thank you to Kaylee. Kaylee was a great podcast, man.
Kaylee was a great guest. I was going to say, I apologize that we didn't get an audio version of that podcast up.
It's only because I'm unprofessional.
Yeah, and I was traveling, but anytime you have kind of a regular season lull in the podcasting, I want to at least get the apology up. We will be back to doing two pods a week this week. We'll be going again on Tuesday as well, but massive, massive thanks to you guys, and I love where the vibes are at right now. The Chase Down family has been great. Carter, before we go, I just feel like we haven't talked enough Dean Wade.
Let's let Dean be the hammer segment, because this man has been playing some really good basketball for us. I mean, the second half against Boston, put the clamps on Tatum down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the three-pointer has looked every bit as fluid as that first preseason game foretold. Even when he's still going to have very low volume games every now and again, but I think he's getting to the point now as a shooter where he is starting to impact that gravity. And I just think he's just been everything the Cavs have ever needed him to be, you know, literally he's never once let them down. And I think, you know, he's really earning his keep in the starting lineup.
He really is. And he's shown enough, like when you go out and you make an offseason move, like adding Donovan Mitchell, it feels so great when they come in and automatically make you look smart as a franchise. And Dean Wade signing a 3-year extension prior to the season. And then he comes in, he's playing 25 minutes a night, averaging just under 11 points, shooting almost 66% from the field and 63% from three. He's increased his attempts.
Hitting threes from all parts of the arc too, man. It's not just one wing that you can keep him there. He's hitting movement threes. He's hitting catch and shoot threes. He's pumping, driving, and then kicking back out to generate threes. Yep. Man,
he's been great, and he's looking more mobile. Like, he actually looks more mobile on the offensive end than the defensive end. Like, I think the lateral quickness, it's starting to come back a little more as he gets his conditioning, but it doesn't seem quite yet to be where it was last season, because I think he was really good. But his help defense and rim protection has been significant. Like, I think that really mattered. Like, when you're going Evan and Kevin Love out there on the offensive end of the court to close out this game, having Dean Wade that can rotate as a help defender is really significant. Like, he basically played power forward at times on the defensive end of the court. And his movement shooting is so much better. He's averaging 1.5 assists per game. He's moving the ball, making the right team plays. And JB said at the start of the season how they kind of had their core seven guys, and they wanted to have four of those guys on the court at all times. And I think the assumption at that time was Isaac Okoro was one of them, especially with how he played in the preseason. But with Okoro, like, kind of still struggling on the offensive end, I kind of feel like Dean is now that guy. Like, he's one of the seven right now that needs to be in the rotation no matter what. Because when Garland comes back, it's going to be Caris LeVert playing at the small forward position. He's been playing really good team basketball. The shooting will come and go, but as long as he's really contributing on defense and that the assists and the ball movement and pushing the pace, as long as he's doing all the things that JB is asking of him, he's probably going to remain in that role. But Dean Wade needs to remain as a significant part of the rotation, because there's not there's not a whole lot more you want from a rotation player. Like, he's out there playing like Deeney and Finney Smith. Like, he's like one of
you were excited for. Don't pretend you weren't excited for that.
Yeah, I've been waiting to work that one in. But like, he's one of those guys that, you know, is a forward that can play both the three and the four. He can give you good defense at both of those positions. He gives you the spacing and the shooting you want. Like, this is exactly what the Cavs wanted. And when they want to go to the tall ball lineup and replicate what they were able to do with Lauri Markkanen, Dean Wade playing like this allows them to do that. And I just look at that 3-year extension that they gave him at the start of the year, and especially when all those other
deals
meant, like, it looks like a steal. And this is a guy that you want to have around. Like, he just completes so many different lineups, and that is such a luxury to have. And again, it's the growth, the internal growth of the player development that you see with guys like Dean Wade that allows you to find value in the margins. And that's the biggest thing. Like, I'm always rooting for guys to go out there and get paid. And like, I want to see Darius make an all-star team and, you know, like get those incentives that are out there. Like, when guys are doing their best, you have to find value in the margins in other spots. And finding guys like Dean Wade, developing players like Dean Wade, like, you hope that Isaiah Mobley can be a guy like that in the future, that with some time with the Charge, with the player development, he can step in. Like, finding and developing these guys is such a difference maker from a team.
Is that Luke Travers music?
Oh, man, I forgot about Luke's been looking
good. A lot of good highlights, man. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
He's doing some fun stuff in the NBL. I'm not enough of a sicko to like be like watching those games back or anything like
that. I'm watching the highlights though. I'm checking them out.
Hey, they're noteworthy. Our man is making it rain in the down under. So
that Australian Draymond, man.
It's just so nice when the two big offensive contributors, Jetty and LeVert, that have really been making a difference. When both of those guys are off and
just nothing, they got nothing out of those guys tonight.
LeVert did give you the assist.
Sure. But 121 points with one made field goal between the two of them.
Yeah. Like, and you're not going to be as dependent on those guys once Darius is back. But the fact that you can weather the storm, get wins against teams that all have playoff aspirations, and you have Dean and Kevin step up. Like, that to me is so exciting. You have Mobley doing more. Like, Jared Allen didn't even get double-digit points, and he can do that. Like, he had some massive games over the stretch. So
yeah, Jared and Evan don't have their number one accelerant offensively on the floor yet.
Man, this is such a great place to be in. I did not expect a 5-1 start. I didn't expect a 5-1 start fully healthy. I certainly didn't expect it with Garland out. And man, this has been really, really impressive. And again,
I want to say a 5-1 start with all five wins by either double digits or like at least 9 points, I think.
Yeah. Again, I think a lot of credit has to go to JB Bickerstaff. And I mean, if this type of consistency continues, I think JB is going to be in the coach of the year race. I think Kobe needs to be in the executive of the year race. Like, I think Donovan's going to be competing for a high spot on those all NBA teams. Like, this pace that they're setting early on has really, really set the tone. And like you said, it still doesn't feel like they're playing great basketball. Like, it feels like there's still so much more room for growth. And that's one of the really encouraging things right now.
Yes, it is, buddy. Feels good. Feels good to be a Cavs fan at this time of year. I'll tell you that much.
Feels great to be a Cavs fan. It feels great to be getting all this support. Thank you, everyone that's tuning in live on YouTube. We really, really do appreciate all the love and support. Make sure you like and subscribe. Click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of the Chase Down's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. And until next time, go Cavs. We'll